Dr. Cole's had his hand up for a while, and then we'll come over to Professor Cahill. Dr. Cole, if you'd like to just jump in there.
Okay, I'll try to be real quick. So to a couple of points, yes, we should stop the vaccines. In the laboratory, I'm seeing countless adverse reactions, treating countless adverse patients as well. To Dr. Merritt's point, in terms of uterine damage, ovarian damage, we're seeing a blood profile. I kind of call it post-COVID immunodeficiency syndrome, but it's really post-vaccine immunodeficiency syndrome. I'm seeing a drop in the CD8 killer T cell count. So I'm seeing a marked increase in herpetic family viruses, human papillomaviruses, and the post-vaccinated. So I'm seeing a marked uptick in a laboratory setting from what I see year over year of an increase of usually quiescent diseases. In addition to that, and this correlation is not causation, but in the last 6 months, I have seen, you know, I read a fair amount of women's health biopsies, and I've seen about a 10 to 20 fold increase of uterine cancer compared to what I see on an annual basis. Now, we know that the CD8 cells are one of our T cells that keep our cancers in check. I am seeing early signals. We know there's a decrease in your toll-like 4, 7, and 8 receptors on some of the T cells post-vaccination. Those are also receptors that will keep cancer in check. So what I'm seeing is an early signal in the laboratory setting that post-vaccinated patients are having diseases that we normally don't see at rates that are already early considerably alarming. Yeah, Dr. Malone?
I'd like to chime in support of Dr. Cole's comments, particularly on viral reactivation and other syndromes. The FDA is aware of this. This is the kind of thing that I find most shocking, is the FDA is fully aware that these data exist, and yet they're not disclosing them to the public. So Dr. Cole's, we could call them anecdotal observations in a busy practice, pathology practice, are completely aligned with what is recognized by the FDA, but not publicly disclosed.
I agree. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Cole. Dolores, if you can pop yourself off mute and come forward with your point, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I think just for the general thing, very simply, I think the message should be going out that normally clinical trials are stopped in the world if 25 in a clinical trial. And in the European Medicines Agency, they have already reported 17,000 deaths connected with the 4 clinical trials in the last 6 months and 1.7 million adverse events. And they are detailed in the classifications, cardiac-related, immune, neuropathological, and fertility associated. So I think we all have duties as doctors and scientists to say if something is causing more harm than good, which this clearly is, we should, I think, unify and call for a stop to the clinical trials worldwide, and also that any individual prime ministers and regulators that continue the trial would have to be liable for any adverse events. And I think we know that we only have the clinical trials because prevention and treatment is not made available. And we should ask that the regulatory authorities and the medical councils in each country confirm if they are going to make prevention and treatment available. And I think we should keep it simple. There is enough evidence now just from the European Medicines Agency alone, 1.7 million reported adverse events and 17,000 deaths, that the 4 clinical trials should be stopped.
As a body of people here, would you all be happy to put your name to something if Jane and I drew something up to send to these bodies, to send to these governments, to send to these councils, to demand a halt in the distribution of the vaccine? Would you guys be prepared to do that?
I would.
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Also, a statement that the governments quit interfering with the practice of medicine and allow physicians to prescribe medications based upon patients and physicians agreeing and informed consent that they want to take and have those medications, because that's the reason why people die with COVID, is because they're not receiving treatment. And you can't, you can't bash at people that were trying to develop something like Dr. Malone was trying to do and go bashing at that technology if you're not going to allow the treatment. And so I would argue that we need to make certain that people, physicians, are allowed to treat without government interference, and that we put a halt on the dissemination of the vaccines at this point in time until we can further investigate them safely.
Addressing this will also help us bring up the conversation about the ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and the other things that GPs and pharmacists aren't allowed access to. I think it's the same in the US as it is in the UK, and that's a conversation that I think needs to be raised as well. And what that does is also raises the question of why governments are doing this, and they've actually hidden treatments from, or kept treatments back, that could have saved lives,
right,
fundamentally.
And you've heard me undoubtedly make a comment about ivermectin and other drugs that they haven't measured the actual tissue effect. And I think that they need the scientific data to do that. But I've also said that observational studies, which is what many of those clinicians are coming in with, we also have to respect that as the only thing that we have available at this point in time, because as clinicians, that's what you actually do. And it's hard to kill somebody more than dead.
Yeah.
We could end the fear overnight by allowing access to therapeutics and,
exactly,
and changing the mainstream media narrative. There's no need for masks. There's no need for lockdowns. This is more treatable than flu, as far as I'm concerned. We're just not allowed to do any treatment.
Right.
And if the public knew that, it changes the narrative
right
overnight.
Dr. Malone has his hand up.
Yeah, we'll go to Malone and then back to Professor Cahill. Dr. Malone.
One of the problems we have is that both CDC and FDA are no longer respecting their own rules and laws, all the way to the common rule. And that is true. But the assertion that the agencies will accept this logic, that there are alternative treatments and therefore EUA no longer applies, is false. I've tested it. The other, you know, to this point of allowing physicians to not be retaliated against and for pharmacists to dispense for alternative treatment strategies, this is a bedrock thing. In terms, for me personally, I can't go to the place of advocating that we no longer make vaccine available or genetic vaccine, because that's all we have in the States. I wish the agency would get Novavax out in US right now, but I can't go there with the elderly and very high risk groups. I personally believe that what is achievable, because that's the world I try to live in, is prohibition on vaccination from infants, newborns, through young adults age 30 to 35. And specifically, I'm trying to target stopping this crazy effort to force universities and schools to have universal vaccination, which is that we can argue about risk benefit for elderly, but the risk benefit ratio for newborns through young adults is explicitly clear. It is upside down. It's not subtle. You're going to kill more. And personally, I also feel that we can dig in really hard on the reproductive health and pregnancy in women. There just aren't data to support the use of this product because of the potential female reproductive health consequences.
I would agree with a moratorium on any requirement for military personnel or collegiate or secondary students, period, across the board. This is not the sample of our population to be testing something out that we do not have full data on. And I have real concerns about some of the funding issues that are being used behind the scenes to manipulate these individuals. And we are coming up to a critical time period where these universities and school systems are starting. And I've had lots of military personnel concerned. And if we play devil's advocate on this, and we are even close to being correct, to do this to our military is potentially devastating. To do it to our children is worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing is, we're not bringing up the COVID recovered, the immune status should be more important than the vaccination status. So I think there's three groups that are easily winnable arguments: pregnant women, the young, and 0.1 per 100,000, and these young, no comorbidities, and actually the COVID recovered. We can't forget that. I mean, that's a lousy thing to do, is to get all these people that are COVID recovered good immune status and give them a vaccination for something they don't need.
It's hard to beat the fact that if you actually have memory cells to an infectious process, that you don't have immunity.
Dr. Laurie, you've had your hand up for a long time as well.
I agree that the vaccines aren't safe for children. They aren't safe for people who've had COVID. They aren't safe for pregnant women. they're actually not safe for anybody. And it's clear the databases are screaming. The databases are early warning systems, and the databases around the world are screaming that we are facing a tsunami of chronic disease. I think we need to stop beating around the bush and actually start thinking about what we can do to ameliorate a potential humanitarian crisis. Do people need protection against long COVID? And there's this kind of post-vaccination syndrome that people are getting, which is a kind of long COVID-like syndrome. Do the treatments that we have for long COVID, do they help these patients at the same doses? And also, do the people who haven't been affected yet by any adverse events, do they need to take some kind of therapy to prevent them getting sick? And I know that Dimitri suggests niacin and NAC. But, you know, these are questions that the public need to know now, because at the moment there are queues of people lining up at the vaccination centers still, and some are getting ill. So we really need some concrete guidance for doctors and the public at this stage.
Absolutely. And that is part of what today is about, is to bring you guys together to make those decisions and to decide how we move forward from here. We are up against global governments. We are up against all the three-letter agencies. We are up against the pharmaceutical companies. We are up against the media, you know, all the mainstream media. We are up against a massive amount, yet you guys can ultimately, with your knowledge, ease the pain, suffering potentially and ongoing issues for millions and millions of people across the world. So we need to unite and we need to mobilize and we need to move forward, as Dr. Zelenko said.